Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for listening to Lakeshore Public Radio at 89.1 FM on the dial and streaming worldwide at lakeshorepublicradio.org. I'm Tom Lounges, and it's time for Midwest Beat, a program all about music and usually about the people who make it. Today, it's going to be me doing a little bit of monologuing as we celebrate Father's Day by playing back-to-back songs from famous musical dads and their famous offspring. For instance, we'll get to something from John Lennon and Julian Lennon. We'll get to something from Dean Martin and Dina Martin, Waylon Jennings, Shooter Jennings, Johnny Cash, Roseanne Cash, Tim Buckley, Jeff Buckley, and more. And it's all going to start off with some rock royalty after your headlines here. Stay with us. Good afternoon and welcome to Lakeshore Public Radio at 89.1 FM on the dial and streaming worldwide at lakeshorepublicradio.org. I'm Tom Lounges, your host for Midwest Beat, a musical program that airs every Friday from 1 till 3. Since we are on the cusp of Father's Day, I thought I would do something a little bit different. I thought, well, maybe we'll invite some famous fathers and their sons to chime in on the show, and then I realized if we do a lot of talking, won't be able to touch a lot of music. So instead, no guest today, just me talking about some of the famous musical dads that have given us famous musical offspring. Coming up, we'll have something from George Harrison and his son Danny Harrison. We'll get to Frank Sinatra and a boot song by Nancy. And of course, let's start off, as I promised, with rock royalty. He was called the king of rock and roll. I'm talking about Elvis Presley. We're going to start things off in 1969 from an album called From Elvis in Memphis. And then we're going to give you a song about Memphis from his daughter, Lisa Marie Presley, off her debut album. Lights Out is the song, and To Whom It May Concern is the album. And let's start off with the king, Suspicious Minds.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby. Why can't you see what you're doing to me when you don't be?
Baby.
From Elvis in Memphis, 1969, one of the last really solid albums he did. Of course, he made albums all the way up to the time he passed in 1977, but that was a classic record. And, of course, Suspicious Minds, what a monster hit it was for the King of Rock and Roll. Speaking of Memphis, I've had the good opportunity and a wonderful experience of interviewing Lisa Marie Presley a couple of times in my career. Lisa is... definitely not really accessible to a lot of journalists, so that's why I say I was just kind of fortunate to be able to do that. A lot of people said, when is Lisa going to make an album? Well, it happened in 2003. Lisa Marie Presley released To Whom It May Concern. It's her debut, and it's interesting because we just heard a song from an album with Memphis in the title. Well, this song is all about Memphis. In fact, it's about Graceland. It's about her father's grave. It's about her relative's grave. Lisa is an interesting young lady and an incredible songwriter. If you can get past the fact that she's Elvis's daughter, get past the Presley name, I think a lot of people would really turn on to her. She's got a darkness to her, but at the same time, there's just so much talent in her songs. I've been a big fan since this album came out. I had the opportunity, like I said, to talk with her and get a little insight on her songs. I got a chance to see her a few times in concert, and I recommend that you do. If you get the chance, don't expect Elvis Part 2, because it's not. She's a woman of her own making, a woman of her own mind, and this is her kind of reflecting on people trying to push the Presleyisms on her. This is all about Graceland and turning the lights out in Memphis.
Keep my walls to you.
Powerful song, powerful bluesy voice. That is Lisa Marie Presley, the only daughter, the only offspring of Elvis Presley, King of Rock and Roll. And that's off her debut album. Great record. She's got three out total. I love all of them, but that one really had an impact. It came out in April of 2003. People were waiting and waiting for Lisa Marie to decide if she was going to have a music career or not. And I think when she did, it was completely not what they expected. You know, a lot of offspring kind of sound a lot like their parent. They try to kind of pick up the name and carry on. And Lisa has kind of run away from some of that. To her credit, she has created a great body of work between these three albums. And the lyrics in that song really strike home when she says, "Someone turned the lights out there in Memphis. So that's where my family's buried and gone." And then there's that line, "Last time I was there, I noticed a space left next to them. They're in Memphis in the damn backyard." Kind of wonder what that is. If you've been to Graceland, you know exactly what that is. So I love Lisa Marie Presley. I hope she keeps going with her music. And again, we are saluting famous musical dads and their famous musical kids that have been following in the family business, so to speak. Coming up, we've got some Fabs, some Beatles. We've got George Harrison coming up, Paul McCartney coming up. And right now, let's give you the most famous single from John Lennon's solo career. And it's interesting because John later said that Yoko Ono, you know, the lady that broke up the Beatles, according to the fans, that she actually contributed a lot to the making of Imagine. And who am I to argue with John? Let's play it. This is Imagine, a song about peace and oneness in the world. Imagine, a song that challenges your mind, your heart, your soul. It's off the 1971 album of the same name, Imagine, by John Lennon. That song became the best-selling single of his solo career, and the lyrics, if you listen to them, and we've all heard that song so many times, asks us to imagine a world of peace without materialism, without borders, without war. Nice place if you can find it. Maybe we need to keep working that way. According to John, years later, he said that his wife, Yoko Ono, was a big inspiration on that, and he later gave her co-writing credits. So anyway, John Lennon, there's not much else I can say about John that people don't know. What a great talent taken too soon. He left us two talented sons, Sean Lennon and Julian Lennon, and I am partial to Julian. I've had the chance to meet him and interview him and deal with him, and I always felt he got the short end of the stick. But he has had some interesting Beatlesisms, if you will. Not only is he the son of John Lennon and his first wife, Cynthia, but he was named after John's mom, Julia Lennon. And he released a series of albums. We're going to go back to the first one, Volate, in a moment from 1984. But he also gave us The Secret Value of Daydreaming, Mr. Jordan, Help Yourself, Photograph, Smile, and Everything Changes. The first one and The Secret Value of Daydreaming, in my opinion, the best. In 2006, Lennon produced documentaries, Whale Dreamers, which won all kinds of international awards. He's also executive produced Women of the White Buffalo, which chronicles the lives of women in the Lakota Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. And I've got friends that have done a lot of work up there with the Lakota Reservation. And I appreciated what he did with that. He also executive produced a documentary called Kiss the Ground about regenerative agriculture and coming from a family or married into a family that has farming in the background. Again, appreciate his efforts. So what I'm saying is John Lennon was very social. He was all concerned about social change in so many ways. And Julian has that DNA clearly. Working with the Native Americans, working with the farmers. So he is kind of a chip off the old block, and that's good in so many ways, but it was bad for his career because as you hear on the song we're about to play, you're going to hear so much John Lennon textures to his sound that it's just, he got dismissed. It's a shame. This is Julian Lennon.
Sitting on the doorstep of the house again. The meaning
Julian Lennon Vallate, John's eldest son. And it's interesting because, as I mentioned, there's a lot of Beatlesisms, not only in his sound, but in his history. How many people know that Julian was the inspiration for not one, not two, but three Beatles songs? Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, most people know that. It was inspired by a cartoon or a crayon drawing that was on the refrigerator. He also was the inspiration for Paul, who was like a second father to him. Hey Jude, they used to call him Jude. And Hey Jude was inspired by Julian, 1968. And then another one that is kind of forgotten is Goodnight. Goodnight was from, what was that from? Yellow Submarine, I believe it was. Don't quote me on that. But Yellow Submarine, or Goodnight, rather, was the final one that was inspired by Julian Lennon. Hope you enjoyed that. Let's move on down to my favorite Beatle of all time, and that is George Harrison, a guy that I saw. That was my first concert ever. I saw him at Chicago Stadium, the only time George Harrison toured without the Beatles, and never returned on a solo tour. He had a second one planned, and that's when he developed cancer, and he had to cancel it. But we're going to go back to the fourth studio album by George. This was released on Apple Records in 1973. It was the follow-up to the critically acclaimed All Things Must Pass, and the concert for Bangladesh had previously just happened. So he was very high in profile, and this became one of the most anticipated releases of the year 1973. And this was an international hit. The Beatles had this kindred spirit of peace and love. John, of course, gave us Imagine, and George gave us this one. Give me love, give me peace on earth. Danny Harrison coming up.
Life, keep me free from birth, give me hope.
Taking you back to 1973, Living in the Material World, the late, great George Harrison. That album came out the year before I saw him in concert, my first concert ever. I believe I was in 7th or 8th grade. Maybe it was 8th grade or freshman year. Yeah, it was around freshman year. Thanks to Glenn Harkabus, my old classmate, wherever he may be. Haven't seen him pretty much since high school, but he's the guy that had the extra ticket and said, "Hey, Tom, you want to go see George Harrison?" I'm like, "He's a Beatle. Of course I do." Good stuff there. Of note on that song, you'll hear a lot of the Eastern influences. And one of the primary reasons not only George is playing, but Indian classical musician Zakir Hussain was one of the many contributors on that album, Living in the Material World. So I hope you enjoyed that. A lot of Danny Harrison's DNA runs akin to his dad, George. Danny actually finished George's last album, which was three quarters of the way through when George passed. And he, if you see him play and you hear him play his dad's music, he sounds a lot like him. He plays a lot like him. But on his own albums and own material, he steps away. He does have certain things that you can pick up, and certainly he looks like his dad, and he can sound like his dad and does sound like his dad on many songs. But his first album came out called In Parallel, and there was a few singles released. None of them really lit up the charts or the airwaves. It was All About Waiting, Admiral of Upside Down, and Summertime Police were part of those releases from that first album, In Parallel. I picked a song that I thought sounded completely different to show you the diversification of Danny Harrison. This one has a very modern, I dare say, industrial kind of alternative fusion-y kind of groove to it. See what you think. It's an acquired taste. Took me a few listens, but I've come to like it. It's called Hashtag War on False, Danny Harrison. definitely different. You can hear the George Harrison voice, but the sound is incredibly different. I enjoyed that. It took a little while to get used to it. Some of his other stuff, Danny Harrison's other stuff, is a little more akin to George's style, but he does give his own groove to it, kind of like Lisa Marie Presley does with her dad. I mean, not even close in style. Walks her own path, and Danny is certainly doing that. He could have probably had the easiest path of all the Beatle kids because he actually worked with his dad in the recording studio and worked with Abbey Road and is quite the engineer. But he said, I'm going to do my own thing, and he did, and it's I wish him well. Let's go to another Beatle. No, not Ringo. I'm sorry, Ringo, but you didn't make the list today. Even though your son Zach is a chip off the old block as a drummer, we're talking more about vocalists and songwriters. And that brings us to one of the greatest songwriters of the modern era. That is Paul McCartney, whose actual name is James Paul McCartney, if you didn't know that. And we're going to take you to an album that was released as a single. It actually was pitched to the Beatles during their Let It Be sessions in January of 1969. I'm not quite sure why it didn't make it to the Beatles catalog, but Paul wound up recording it as a solo single in 1971 and releasing it as a single. And ultimately, it wound up on second and third and, you know, following pressings of the Paul McCartney solo album Ram. It wasn't originally included on Ram, but it was added later because it was one of those singles just floating out there. So let's give you this one. It's Another Day, Paul McCartney.
Every day she takes a morning bath, she wets her hair, wraps a towel around her as she's heading for the bedroom chair. It's just another day, slipping into stockings, stepping into shoes, dipping in the pocket of her raincoat. It's just another day at the office where the papers grow. She takes a break, drinks another coffee, and she finds it hard to stay awake. It's just another day. It's just another day. It's just a
another day. It's just another day.
Just another day. Paul McCartney gave us that one in 1971. Again, it was pitched during the Let It Be sessions to the Beatles back in 69. And I think they had moved on. I think that song might have been better served for like Rubber Soul or Revolver. But I think by the time they did Let It Be, the sound was a little bit different that the Beatles had. But it certainly is definitely a McCartney song. A lot of folks, a lot of critics, including other musicians, have compared it to the 1966 ballad Eleanor Rigby because the topic of it, the lyrics describe the sad daily routine of a lonely woman, which is very much what Eleanor Rigby does, except in this song she doesn't necessarily die at the end as the priest walks away dusting the dirt from his hands. Anyway, Paul McCartney gave us that one, and it was later reissued on the Ram album. Wasn't on the first pressing. So if you got one Ram album without that on it, that's an original pressing. But they did add it because it was from the same era. His son doesn't get a lot of attention. He has played at in Chicago a number of times at different smaller clubs. And if you get a chance to see James McCartney, he is the son of Paul and Linda. He actually is, again, kind of a chip off the old block in so many ways. He's a pretty good songwriter, not on the caliber of his dad, but he performs well, and he also has much of the lifestyle. He is a vegan, and he also does a lot of charity work, and I think we'll play a song that's appropriate, because today we are doing a show for Father's Day. In case you just joined, it's all about famous musical dads, and then we follow up with a song from one of their famous or not so famous musical children. So it's a song about dads and their offspring. This is off a release of 2011 called The Complete EP Collection by James McCartney, because like so many of the young talents out there, they're releasing a lot of songs on the internet and then maybe as an EP, and then they build them up. There's not a full-length album out there. But this is interesting because it's the perfect Father's Day gift from James to Paul. It's aptly titled, I Love You, Dad. Check out the sound. It's got Transcendental Meditation written all over it. Coming at you from the complete EP collection, a song that was released as a single online. That is singer-songwriter James McCartney, the only son of songwriter and former Beatle Paul McCartney and his wife Linda. And James actually contributed to solo albums by his parents, including Flaming Pie, if you remember that. That was a pretty big album in 97, and Driving Rain. James is continuing on in his own style, and if you notice, there are a lot of transcendental meditation, Eastern influences that he said he continues to embrace, just like his all the Beatles did. Paul did, of course, but Paul kind of shied away from it a little later in his career, but you know, George Harrison certainly stayed with the Eastern meditation practices and things, and you could almost hear the George Harrison influence on James McCartney as much as his dad's, you know, influence. He looks a lot like his pops, just a little blonder, I think. But good stuff. That is called I Love You, Dad. And we'll dedicate that to all the dads everywhere, from all the kids everywhere. We'll keep it very, very broad swath there. All right, I'm Lounges, and today we're doing Father's Day show songs, celebrating Father's Day with famous musical fathers and songs from them and their offspring. Sometimes their famous offspring. Like Julian Lennon got a fair share. We played him earlier. And Roseanne Cash, Johnny Cash, we're going to get to something from her and her dad. They got pretty famous. Miley Cyrus, you might have heard of her. Her and her dad are coming up as well. But right now, let's go back to pre-Beatles era, I guess it wouldn't be pre-Elvis, but pre-Beatles era or during Beatles era. This is the music my parents used to love. In fact, I had a chance to see this gentleman on one of his last dates, and I actually rented a limo and took my parents to surprise them for their anniversary. And this is one of the songs that, of course, he played. It's a standard. Let's go back to 1966. It was the A-side of a single, and it's called Strangers in the Night. The chairman of the board, Old Blue Eyes, Frank Sinatra.
Strangers in the night, exchanging glances, wandering in the night. What were the chances we'd be sharing love before the night was through? Something in your eyes was so inviting, something in your smile was so exciting, something in my heart told me I must have you. Strangers in the night, two lonely people, we were strangers in the night. Up to the moment when we said our first hello, little did we know, love was just a glance away, a warm embracing dance away. And ever since that night, we've been together, lovers at first sight, in love forever, it turned out so right. For strangers in the night, love was just a glance away, a warm embracing dance away. Ever since that night, we've been together, lovers at first sight, in love forever, it turned out so right, for strangers in the night. Doo-dee-doo-bee-doo, doo-doo-doo-dee-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-
Only Sinatra could get away with that last lyrical line there and make it sound genuine and authentic and wonderful. I could go on radio and say dooby dooby doo, and I'd get laughed at. Sinatra, what a voice, what an interpreter of songs. That is the title track of his album from 1966, Strangers in the Night, also released as the first single. The album and the single both reached number one, and the album became Sinatra's biggest commercial success of his career. Of course, he had a lot of them, but that was the biggest one. And it also went to number one in the UK. And again, that's 1966 when the Beatles and all those other Brits were in their heyday, and old Blue Eyes comes along and still knocks them off the charts in their own country. The interesting thing about Strangers in the Night is when it was first pitched to Frank, it had different lyrics. He loved the melody, but he did not like the lyrics. I'm not sure what the original lyrics were, but I guess he worked to create a new set of lyrics and, of course, recorded it, and the rest became history. Not such a stalwart of success, but certainly someone who was there at the right time in the right place. The year was 1965. Go-go boots were in. Hullabaloo, Shindig, all those beat era kind of songs were out there, blending beats and folk and pop. And there was a guy out there named Lee Hazelwood, and he was a great songwriter and producer of that sound. And he just happened to be good friends with Nancy Sinatra, Blue Eyes' daughter. And he gave her this song. It was actually written for him. He was going to record it, and it was written from a male perspective. And Nancy said, really? This song is better suited for a female. And she did something to convince him, and it went to number one. This is Nancy Sinatra and a Lee Hazelwood tune. Remember that name. It's going to come up again in just a few minutes. But this is the Boot Song. Let's do some walking.
You keep saying you got something for me, something you call love, but confess, you've been a messin' where you shouldn't have been a messin', and now someone else is getting all your best. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you. Yeah. You keep lying when you ought to be truthing, and you keep losing when you ought to not bet. You keep saying when you ought to be a-changing. Now what's right is right, but you ain't been right yet. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you. You keep playing where you shouldn't be playing, and you keep thinking that you'll never get burned. Ha! I just found me a brand new box of matches, yeah, and what he knows you ain't had time to learn. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.